I'm going to share some thoughts on Christmas to you. And then we've got two more carols and we'll finish, I don't know, 2 hours time? I'm joking. 20 minutes, whatever. But it's good. It's almost Christmas if you've not worked that out yet. I did have some tinsel around my neck, but I was told by somebody that it might get in the way of the microphone, so I've taken it off. So I think blue and red and a bit of white on there looks a little bit Christmassy. I have got a Christmas jumper, which I didn't bring tonight because it's so loud that it probably deafened many of you. So I didn't bring that. A few thoughts on Christmas. The four stages of man. Number one, you believe in Father Christmas. Number two, you don't believe in Father Christmas. I wonder why. Number three, you dress up as Father Christmas. And number four, at the end of your life, you look like Father Christmas. But as Christians, we look again at the Nativity story. What the Nativity story is, it's a showcase of the birth of Christ. So for instance, we know that the wise man may not have been there at the same time. You know, it wasn't strictly a stable, it could be a cave and all kinds of things. But we've got a brilliant, my title tonight is What's All This Fuss About a Stable? Have you ever thought what would have happened though if the characters in the Nativity story had been different? Imagine if what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of men. Right? They would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They'd have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and bought disposable nappies as gifts. There you go. Fantastic. But the readings, I mean, tonight we had from Pete and from Laura were great. And Laura, just a few verses of the one that Laura shared. Luke 2, verse 3 onwards. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was at the house of the lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a firstborn son, and whose name was Jesus. So the Nativity play, I mean, tonight the kids had a great time. I think that was brilliant. It's one of the best ones I've seen, where the star suddenly appeared and everything else. But my title tonight is What's All This Fuss About Stable? And I've got a few points in there. In a moment, I'll ask the team to move them on, but not yet. But of course, Jesus, I mean, if you're a complete atheist, because I used to be a complete and total atheist. I was an atheist, convinced that quantum mechanics was the way that matter came about. But I don't believe that at all. I believe that there's a God, there's a creator, absolutely 100%. And Jesus Christ grew up and the world say, oh, he's the founder of Christianity. You know, him, along with his mother and his friends, he found Christianity and it moved all over the world. That's fine, I respect that. But not only was the founder of Christianity the biggest movement in history and probably the most famous and controversial figure who's ever lived, he was and is the Son of God. John 14, verse 6, talks about a time when Jesus was older in the Gospel of John. And in John 14, verse 1 to 6, he was talking to his disciples. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be where I am also. And you know the place where I'm going. And Thomas, who is a guy, one of the disciples, he kind of doubted a little bit, said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christmas. So I would say that the greatest gift of Christmas is Jesus. And I want to explain that a little bit more. I mean, the greatest gift I ever had, physical gift, was about sort of, I think, I was about 41, 42 years ago, and no, I don't look that old, but I'm a little bit older than that, where my father, who had just been in hospital, came out and Father Christmas, got it right, bought me a rally bike. It was brilliant. I thought I wasn't going to get a bike, but I came downstairs and my father had been out of hospital and he was a bit more well, and my mother was there, and I got this amazing rally bike. It was only three gears, and my friend Andrew across the road had one with five gears, but he was always better than me. But anyway, I loved it. Who remembers the Sturmey Archer gears, three-speed? Yes, some of the hands are going up. People of my generation, thank you. And older, but there we go. But they're brilliant, it's great. And I didn't like the derailleurs, but these were really good. And it was an amazing little gift at Christmas. But much later, actually when I was 19, I had, I would say something that was a better gift. Because on a day off, I was walking through the centre of the town where I live, Derby in the East Midlands, and I saw a bunch of these wacky Christians right in the middle of the street with rainbow guitars and stuff, doing all this stuff about Christianity. And I thought, okay, what's this? I went up pointedly and specifically to argue with them and chat to them. And this guy basically told me, he kind of talked to me, but I said, oh, you? I said, oh, I work at a supermarket nearby. I just thought I'd come and chat to you guys to see what you, want to say. And I thought, I'm going to make fun of him. But something about the character of this guy, it reflected the character of Jesus when he spoke to me. And he started talking to me, answering all the questions that I already got anyway, invited me along to a church service, and I decided myself to become a Christian, to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I decided at the age of 19 to give my life to Jesus and to follow him. I'm 52 now, and no, you can't believe it. But I act as I'm 12, and I look about as I'm about 92. But honestly, I'm going to enter this decade, the 20s, and I'm going to again give the whole decade to Jesus and say, I want to follow you. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And to me, that's the most precious thing. I've got a few points now for the next 5 or 6 minutes. So in terms of a stable, I want to break it down into an acronym. Okay. Do you know what an acronym is? Because if you do, I don't. No. So basically, S-T-A-B-L-E. Okay, so what's all this fuss about a stable? Okay, traditionally, you know, in the Nativity we see it as a stable, although in reality it could have been a cave or maybe a cave half stable or whatever. But the point is that it was a stable. So the first thing is salvation. John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Basically, what this guy explained to me was simply that there is a God who created the universe. It is impossible to have a vacuum and then matter evolve from nothing. If one atom evolves from nothing, it needs another atom to evolve from nothing for no reason at the same time, which looks the same, acts the same, has the same properties, and also billions and billions the same. Ain't gonna happen, guys. You know, it's like a car engine can't evolve on its own. And even Charles Darwin, when he died, said, you know, a lot of what I've said, I still think there's a God behind it. But salvation, mankind has gone away from God. And Jesus Christ became the absolute and perfect sacrifice, died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and that we could know him and have eternal life. T, next one, trust. I was going to do a demonstration, I think I will. Who wants to be part of a demonstration here? Now, I'll probably have a boy if that's okay. There's a reason for it. I'll get Dan. No, I won't get Dan. I'll get Isaac. Is it all right if I get Isaac? Come on, Isaac. Isaac, bring a chair, please. Isaac is one of our amazing young musicians. Give him a round of applause. Right. Right. Trust. So stand there on that chair and face that way. No, face that way here. No, that's it. Face that way. Yeah. Stand there. Okay, see you. See you tomorrow. No. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Listen, in the Bible, Jesus said, if you trust me as your Lord and Savior, ask me into your heart and follow me all your life, you will be forgiven. And when you die, you will face God, absolutely forgiven. And I'll be with you all your life. And you have to trust that. And falling into this belief, into Christianity, is kind of like this. So when I say now, I want you to close your eyes and fall backwards. I really pray, I'm not saying now yet, I really pray this is not going to go wrong. Because I can see the headlines in the Echo now. I mean, I've tried to stay out of the newspapers, it is. Right. That's it. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Think about that. So trust, when you become a Christian, you're putting your trust in the unseen God. I've seen miracles in my life. I know it's real. Okay, what's the third one? Acknowledge. So basically we need to, it says, everyone acknowledged me before men, I'll also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I'll also deny before my Father in heaven. So acknowledging, saying, yeah, by the way, I used to be. It's like somebody, I think Ophelia's son, used to support Saints and he now supports Liverpool. I remember when he came in here and said, I'm a Liverpool supporter. I thought, oh, I can't talk to you now. But it's like saying to people, my life has changed. I'm different now. I am now a Christian. I lost lots of friends when I became a Christian, but I didn't have many friends to start with, actually. Still haven't got any friends. I mean, but I think it's standing up and saying, and I gained more friends, gained a family, and when you stand up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, I am a Christian. Because there's enough people in this world saying, I am this, I am that, I'm that. Why not stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. you know, the most controversial and famous person in history. And I've discovered that he means something to my life. Next one, 5 more minutes, believe. It's not the order. Acts 16:31, they reply, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So it's basically starting off and saying, you know what, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe what you say in the Bible, and I want to know you myself. You know, somebody once said to me, blah, 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 Chippy down the road, and it was actually, who remembers the Deep Blue Chippy in Romsey? It used to be called Deep Blue Snack or Court. Someone says, that fish and chip shop is delicious, and it's better than Goodies. And I thought, no, because Goodies is really nice. I know the guy at Goodies, he gives me more chips. And no, the other one, Deep Blue, or Court is now called, is better. And so I thought, believing it is one thing, but I thought, let me try it out for myself. So I went there, and hey presto, the chips there are better, and I've been having them since, as you can probably tell. So I discovered for myself that Christianity actually is real. Simple as that. You know, I've got friends who are atheist Muslims. I respect them, love them. I don't pour what I believe down people's throat. I try to demonstrate it through the content of my character, and I explain when God gives me chance. 2 more letters, L. Leave your old life behind. So basically, you see, John 3:3 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So basically, it means that when you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are actually saying, what I used to do, that was my life. I'm now living this life, and I'm standing up for Jesus, and I'm following him in my life. And you find elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about the Holy Spirit filling you and giving you strength, giving you a new life, and giving you the ability to follow Jesus and to live the life that he has got for you. And finally, the last one, E, eternal life. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. According to the Bible, when our life ends, and it will, my life will end. You know, no matter how much vegetables I eat or water I drink, it will end at some point. And the Bible promises eternal life for those who are followers of Jesus. I love Father Christmas. He's great. But I just want to talk about the differences now, just to finish this before we hand over to our last two carols, between Santa Claus and Jesus. Santa rides in a sleigh, Jesus rides on the wind and walks on water. Santa comes but once a year, Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stockings with goodies, Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down the chimney, uninvited, Jesus stands at the door and knocks and then enters your heart. You have to stand in line to see Santa. Lovely though he is, Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, hi, little boy or girl, what's your name? Jesus knew our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too. He knows our history and our future. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart of love. Where did this come from? I've read through it, don't worry. I've made that mistake before. All Santa can offer is ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. And so just, Santa's, right, it's just a little poem I found there, some illustrations.